The grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Well, good morning and a special welcome to our 10 o'clock worship service, which is also a celebration service for the end of our holiday club, Waste Watchers. So we welcome especially any visitors that are joining us today who have been at the Waste Watchers holiday club all week, where a lot of fun was had. If you are a visitor, just to let you know, there is a creche through the door here. So if you've got a very small baby and need to go to the creche, it's just up there. And after we have sang Our God is a Great Big God, if you've got a very small child with you and they're getting a bit fidgety, there will be some games happening in the hall. We've also got tea and coffee after the service. And again, if you're a parent of children that have been at Waste Watchers, all the children's work of the week is on the walls, so you can see all the creative fun that we've had throughout the week. And we also have our tradecraft stall for things to buy in the hall as well. We'll say a special welcome back to Bob Harvey, our organist, who is with us today. Derek, our usual organist, isn't with us, so welcome to Bob. Now, our holiday club theme was looking a bit about God's creation and how wonderful God's creation is. So we're going to sing our first hymn, which is All Things Bright and Beautiful. Let's come and approach God in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we know that everyone here today is important to you. We are all created in your image. We are all bright and beautiful in your sight. You love each of us and know us all by name. Loving God, help us today to know that you are near, that you are our Heavenly Father, and that you love us, that we can come before you now and any day, no matter where we are at in life, and no matter what we are facing, and no matter what we have done, past or present. Loving God, help us to remember that as we confess our sins through Jesus, we are forgiven and restored people. And when we invite Jesus into our hearts, we are given life with a purpose and a joy that can overcome the darkness of this world. So Lord, today we have come to sing, to pray and to meet with you. And hear us now as we say our family prayer together that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, good morning to the boys and girls who are at Waste Watchers. Give me a cheer if you're at Waste Watchers. Yee! Again, give me a cheer if you're at Waste Watchers. Yee! It was so much fun, wasn't it? Well, I had a super time. Now, over the course of the week, we had a special theme each day. So we had five themes. Now, I wonder who could remember the themes. I've got a microphone here. I wonder who could remember day one. What was day one about? Can anyone remember what day one was about? Abigail.
From nothing to something.
That's right, from nothing to something. And we were thinking about God's creation, how he created the world. And when he created the world, he said it was all good. It was all good. So he created the plants and the sea and the animals and us too. So that was day one. Day two, can anyone remember what day two was about? It starts from Kieran.
Water to wine.
Yes, that's right. From water to wine. And we were looking at Jesus' first miracle. And what that told us was that Jesus liked to go to parties just like us. Because he went to a wedding and he turned water into wine. Can anyone remember why he did that?
Because there was no more wine left, and they might, and the persons might sort of feel guilty.
That's right. We were thinking about the person that put on the wedding, and if he had ran out of wine at the wedding, he might feel quite embarrassed that he didn't have enough drinks to serve his guests. So Jesus came in and performed that miracle so that man wouldn't feel embarrassed. That's a very good answer. And that made us think, well, Jesus is here for us no matter how small our problem is. So that's what that taught us, as well as that Jesus liked to go to parties. And we had our own party on Friday night, didn't we? Oh, that was good. That was so much fun. We think we need to bring karaoke back into the church again. That was so much fun. So day two was water to wine. Day three, we're nearly having to think what we did now. Day three, can anyone remember what day three was about? I'm going to come. Stephen, would you pass the microphone back? What was day three about?
Darkness to light.
Oh, well done. That was from darkness to light. And we looked at another miracle of Jesus when he healed a man that was blind so that he could see again. And we were starting to think about, we could all see, but sometimes there is darkness in the world, things that aren't so good, and how Jesus can bring light. So that was day three. Day four. Who can remember day four? Abigail?
Death to life.
Death to life. So it was a sad story in day four, because even though Jesus was an amazing man and he performed lots of miracles and he helped people that were sick and people that were lonely, there were some religious leaders that didn't like him. They didn't like why he had come, and they didn't like that he was taking over their authority. And Jesus died, didn't he? But does it end a sad story? What happened to Jesus after he died on the cross? What happened to Jesus after he died on the cross?
He came back alive again.
He came back alive again. So we celebrated that although Jesus died, he came back to life again, and he comes back to life to give us joy when we come to know Jesus. Right, day five, we're nearly there. What did we do on day five? Can anyone remember? From
sadness to joy.
From sadness to joy. That's right. So even though it was very sad that Jesus had to die for us, we know when we come to know Jesus, we will get that joy in us. And what did we do to celebrate that? What did we make on day five? Can you remember? No, who remembers? What was the craft on day five? James remembers what the craft was on day five. What was the craft?
Crosses.
It was. We did make crosses. On day four, we made crosses out of cork. In fact, I'll show everybody what our cross was like. Look, we made crosses from corks. So those who donated corks into the recycling, we made these lovely crosses. But day five, we actually made musical instruments.
Yay.
And we all celebrated with our musical instruments that Jesus is alive. Now, for the grown-ups who don't know why I'm wearing some dungarees, I'm not just being casual today. We had a drama every day as well, didn't we? And the drama was a lot of fun. Samuel played our park keeper called Parky. Now, Parky had quite a boring park. Why was his park boring?
Because you weren't allowed to, like, walk on the grass or play football.
It was boring because you couldn't even enjoy the park. You couldn't walk on the grass, you couldn't play football, and you couldn't have any fun. And then what happened to his park over the days? What happened to the park? Can anyone remember what happened to the park? Can you remember what happened to the park?
It got all messy.
It did get all messy, didn't it? What a good answer, Finn. It got really messy. People trashed the park with all their rubbish. So we came in on Tuesday, and the park was covered in litter. There was an old tire. What else did we have? We had graffiti on the wall.
We didn't.
Oh, was that day three?
No, day four.
Day four, some graffiti came. And what happened to the park keeper? Was he happy about that? No, what was he doing? He was crying. He was really upset that someone had trashed his park. But then we had some really good boys and girls that came along and they said to the park keeper, "We will help you transform your park into something beautiful." So what they did was they took the rubbish and made it into something beautiful. They transformed it. So then the park keeper on day five had a beautiful park. And what did he do with the signs that he had that said no ball games and no fun?
He put them away and put on new signs.
And what was the new? What did the new signs say?
One of the signs he means put rubbish in the bin.
Yeah, there was signs saying please recycle, but there was also a big sign that said all are welcome. Oh, is it falling down? Thank you, Kieran. So all are welcome. Now, I would say that sign is for our church as well, because we would say everyone is welcome in this church. So we're going to watch, I'm going to put on a little video now, and this is just a reminder, a little bit about the message that we were getting throughout the whole of the Waste Watchers Holiday Club. So we'll listen to the video now on the screen behind.
Have you ever wondered how many stars are in the sky, or how they shine so bright, or how many fish are in the sea, and how they got their beautiful colors, or how every single tiny snowflake has its own unique design? We may not know all the answers to these questions, but we know who does. God created every person, animal, and tree. He knows every star in the galaxy and every grain of sand on the beach. The same God who created the universe knows every hair on my head and every dream in my heart. He is the designer of it all, and he knows us by name. He loves us. He cares for us. And to know that is to know something that is truly indescribable.
So we know our God is pretty awesome, and we've got lots to say thank you to God. So we're going to say a little prayer of thanksgiving to God for his wonderful creation. And Samuel's going to lead us in that prayer. You come out, Samuel. And it's a responsive prayer, so it's going to come up on the screen. And after Samuel said each line, there's a line that you've all to say back again as well, if you would like to join in. So after Samuel said his sentence, if we could all say together, we give you thanks and we sing your praise.
Let us pray.
Lord God, you give us times of stillness and quiet moments of life to remember you and your love.
We give you thanks and we sing your praise.
Lord, you made the rippling streams and mighty waterfalls as a sign of your goodness and power.
We give you thanks and we sing your praise.
Lord, you built the snowy mountain tops and designed lakes of clear water that fill us with hope and joy.
We give you thanks and we sing your praise.
Lord, you created animals of every shape and size and colour as well as birds, fish and insects.
We give you thanks and we sing your praise.
Lord, your creation reflects your beauty and your glory. It makes us want to worship you and praise your name.
We give you thanks and we sing your praise.
Lord, you gave us eyes to see and ears to hear, lives to enjoy your creation and voices to give you glory.
We give you thanks and we sing your praise.
Lord, long ago you created glaciers that remind us that you are the God that has no beginning and no end.
We give you thanks and we sing your praise.
Lord, you gave us mighty rushing waters that speak to us of your life-sustaining power and love.
We give you thanks and we sing your praise.
Lord, the lights sparkling on the water and sunsets that take our breath away speak to us of the light of the world.
We give you thanks and we sing your praise.
In Jesus' name, Amen.
Well, thank you, Samuel. That was wonderful.
And that was a lovely prayer of thanksgiving to God for his wonderful creation. But we were also talking at Holiday Club what has happened to God's creation and some of the things that we have done that have destroyed God's planet that haven't been good. What were some of the things that we talked about at Holiday Club that have damaged our planet? Can you remember? No? Oh, yeah, you had one? Yes?
Rubbish.
Yes, so rubbish. And do you know what? I watched the news the other night and you know there's been lots of celebrations in Glasgow. We've had 30 years since Glasgow Garden Festival and we've had the European Championship and there's been lots of parties going on throughout Glasgow and Glasgow Green has had lots of celebrations happening in that area of Glasgow and it showed you a picture on the news of what Glasgow Green looked like after everybody had gone home. And do you know what was left on the grass? Piles and piles of rubbish. People hadn't taken their rubbish home with them. And they were saying people were doing some really strange things. Instead of taking their rubbish home, do you know what they were doing? Well, they were piling their rubbish up into neat piles and then still leaving it on the ground. And the newsreader said it was called polite rubbishing. So they think they're doing a good job, but they're not really because they're still leaving it on the grass. So what should they be doing instead? Putting it in the bin. What a good answer. Superb. Yeah, they should be putting it in the bin. And if the bins are full and overflowing, they should be taking it home with them. What other things do we know of that are destroying our planet? Some of the things that we talked about at Holiday Club. Can anyone remember?
Pollution.
Pollution. And we thought a little bit about the plastic waste that goes into the ocean. And what happens when the animals in the ocean swallow the plastic is quite often they die because their tummies are all filled with plastic bags and things. Anyone think of anything else? How our planet's been destroyed?
Well, humans or people are actually a big part in kind of ruining our planet because we are just not caring for it properly and like God wanted us to, and we are creating lots of noise, we're chucking animals out of their homes and potentially destroying the planet because
that's a good answer. That's a good answer, Samuel. So things like deforestation affects the habitat of animals. And also we're thinking of one effect on the planet, especially on Wednesday, because on Wednesday we couldn't use our cars. Why couldn't we use the cars? Yeah. There was a cycle race outside in Mulgay, so in order to get to our Holiday Club on Wednesday, we couldn't get in our car. We had to either walk or we had to get the train, and that was much better for the environment, wasn't it? Because when we get in our cars, we've got all the pollution from the cars. And do you know what? I was thinking maybe we won't get any children on Wednesday. Maybe people won't be able to come to the Holiday Club because they won't be able to use their car. And do you know, the same number of children still came to our Holiday Club, so we were really grateful for that. So that was another example of how we can look after our planet. Now, I've got a question for the grown-ups. Who remembers the Wombles? So, I need to remind myself, because I'm a bit too young about for the Wombles, I have to say. So if I start underground, overground, wombling free, the Wombles of Wimbledon, common are we, making good use of the things that we find, things that the everyday folks leave behind. Do you know, the Wombles were ahead of the game, really. They were recycling before any of us had any recycling bins in our kitchen. So the Wombles are fantastic, and we're going to see the Wombles in a wee minute. Have you got something to say, Samuel?
Me and Kieran know about the Wombles.
Oh, you and Kieran know about the Wombles already. Well, we were quite like the Wombles when we were at a Holiday Club. Because the grown-ups, how long have you been collecting rubbish for me? Months. I thought you might like to see some of the things that we made from all your rubbish. So you've already seen our cross that's made from cork. Well, we also, someone made this wonderful lighthouse. Now, we had a holiday club song called My Lighthouse, and someone made this so that we had a proper lighthouse when we were singing our song. And we had our musical instruments made of plastic bottles. We have beautiful flowers made from tissue paper. And you'll see more of this, these wonderful things that when you go into for your tea and coffee. We have a dolly made from plastic cups. We had a whole cork family. Yeah. They're just lovely. They're little cork men. You'll see them next door.
And kids.
And kids. We made bird feeders made from juice cartons, which is very pretty. We made owls from kitchen rolls that can hang up. And he's another shaker. So there's so much more next door, though, you'll love to see. So we're going to just see that little clip of the Wombles, just for nostalgia. So you could get an idea of the kind of programs that your parents watched. I wanted to know what a womble was. I thought it was a hedgehog. I said to Samuel, what's a womble? He says, it's just a womble. It's just a womble. It's not any kind of animal. No, anyway.
A womble is a type of animal.
A womble is a type of animal. Okay, there you go. So we're thinking a bit about the effects we've had on our planet and how there's some things that we know we've done that isn't good. So Andrew's going to lead us in a short prayer of confession. So I'm going to invite Andrew to come up. Is he here? Oh, here he comes. He comes running from the back. Again, it's a responsive prayer. So after Andrew said each line, if you want to join in, say, God, forgive and bless us.
God, you made the world to be a beautiful place, but we have spoilt it with our actions.
God, forgive and bless us.
God, you asked people to take care of the world, a beautiful world, but we have not done what you have asked.
God, forgive and bless us.
God, we want to do what we can to care for this world. Show us what we can do and help others join in too.
God, forgive us and bless us.
Amen.
Well, now we come to the time in the service where we're going to share one of our holiday club songs, which is called the Rubbish Song, funny enough. And the boys and girls are going to come out the front. So if you come out, even if you weren't in the holiday club, you can come out the front because we have sang this in church before, so you should know it. So if you'll stand up there for me. That's it, wonderful. Now the words are going to come up on the screen and you've also got it in your order of service, so you can all stand up and join in too.
We have to just sit down.
Yeah. Is that all? Excellent. Superb, well done. Now, Sophie and Anna, you stay up for me. You stay up. You want to stay up as well, James? That's fine. You want to stay up, Finn? You can stay up. And Kieran, come up as well. Now, we had a time at Wastewatchers Holiday Club called Sharing Time. And that was a time when the boys and girls could share anything they wanted to share, whether it was jokes or their pictures or their art. And the teenagers in the church also shared a little bit about their faith and what it meant to them to be a follower of Jesus. So I'm going to ask the boys and girls up on the stage today, what was their favourite thing about being in Wastewatchers Holiday Club? So, Kieran, what was your favourite thing about being in Wastewatchers Holiday Club?
The drama.
You enjoyed the drama. You were in it, weren't you?
Yes.
You want to tell the grown-ups what your part in the drama was?
Malarkey.
He was the malarkey. So he was the one coming in trashing the park. But were you transformed in the end?
No.
You weren't? He was supposed to be transformed. We've still got a lot of work to do, Kieran. Now, James, what was your favourite thing about being a part of Wastewatchers Holiday Club?
Arts and crafts.
You enjoyed the arts and crafts. And what was your favourite arts and craft that you made?
A volcano.
Your volcano. Oh, yeah, that was wonderful, wasn't it? I think you got extra points for your team. What team were you in? Can you remember the name?
Litterbug Heroes.
Litterbug Heroes. So the boys and girls all had to name their team. What was your team called? Well, you weren't in a team. Anna, what was your team?
Litterbug Heroes.
You were Litterbug Heroes. What were you in, Sophie?
Green Fingers.
Green Fingers. And what were you in, Finn? You Swish Swish Wash? Trash Stars. Trash Stars. You've been Trash Stars. So they've been very creative with their group names. So where did I get to? Anna, what was your favourite thing about being in Wastewatchers Holiday Club?
My favourite part was the drama, learning about God and making new friends.
Oh, that's lovely, Anna, because Anna lives in Bearsden and she came all the way to Mogai and made new friends. So that's a lovely answer, and I'll come round to you. So, Sophie, what was your favourite thing about being in Wastewatchers Holiday Club?
Well, everything was so much fun that I couldn't choose.
Oh, now I didn't tell her to say that, I promise. That's a lovely answer, Sophie. And Finn, what was your favourite thing about being in Wastewatchers Holiday Club?
Making the pictures.
Making the pictures. And you made us some fabulous pictures. Did you post them in our post box? No. But we had this post box so that the children could share whatever they wanted to share with us over the course of the week, and it was great. We loved it. So we're going to sing, we can stay up here because we're going to sing another song. We're going to sing our next song, which is Our God is a Great Big God. Bob's going to play on the organ, so this is one for everybody to join in. Would the boys and girls that want to come up and do the actions like to come up? Before we come to listen to God's word, we're going to sing our prayer of understanding. And we sing this hymn, Sitting Down, and it's called Spirit of God. Our three Bible readings this morning all come from the Gospel according to John. And we're going to be looking especially at the disciple Peter. And it was the Gospel of John that all our stories came from the holiday club throughout the week. So we're going to be looking, first of all, at John 13, and we're looking from verse 33 to 38, and that can be found on page 1082. So John 13, 33 to 38. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And our second reading again comes from the Gospel according to John. And we're looking at John chapter 18, verses 15 to 18, and also verses 25 and 27. And that can be found on page 1086. So that's John chapter 18, looking at verses 15 and 18, and then verses 25 to 27. Peter's first denial. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. And then looking at verses 25 to 27. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself. So they asked him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, a rooster began to crow. So in our first two scripture readings, we have heard about Peter, one of the disciples, and how he denied knowing Jesus following his arrest and before he was killed on the cross. Peter did not help Jesus despite telling Jesus earlier that he would never leave him. So now we're going to hear about Peter again when Jesus appeared to his disciples for the third time following his resurrection when the disciples were out fishing. And when you listen to this story, I want you to imagine what Peter would have been feeling when he saw the risen Jesus again. How would Peter be feeling? So we're going to look at John chapter 21, and we're looking at verses 1 through to 9, and then verses 14 to 19. Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas also called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll come with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals. There was fish on it and some bread. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. and from verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him for a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old and will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Amen, and may God bless to us these readings from his holy word. We're going to sing in response to God's word now, hymn 179, "Go Tell It on the Mountain." Loving God, as we come to hear more about your word to us through the Gospel of John, help us to hear your voice speaking to each and every one of us here today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, boys and girls, well done for listening, because that was quite a long Bible story to listen to today about Peter, one of Jesus' disciples. Can anyone tell me what Peter did that wasn't loving towards Jesus? Can you answer that, Abigail? What did Jesus do?
He said he didn't know Jesus 3 times.
Yeah, he denied knowing Jesus. And what was quite sad about that was, in the first passage, in the first story that we heard how he said he would never leave Jesus. And then, when Jesus got into trouble, he denied knowing anything about him. So how do you think Peter was feeling about himself afterwards? How do you think he was feeling? Does anyone else want to answer that? Or Abigail's been the only one listening. How was Peter feeling about that?
He was feeling really sad and guilty.
He was feeling really sad and guilty. What a superb answer. And I was thinking he was probably feeling pretty rubbish about himself, because he knew he had done something wrong to Jesus and he had let Jesus down. So he was feeling pretty rubbish about himself. And I know there's times when we all can feel pretty rubbish about ourselves and the way that we've treated other people. And I remember a time when I was a young girl, probably about primary 4, and I had a good friend called Louise. Now, I played with Louise outside school, and she was a good friend to me. But Louise had some special needs, so in this classroom at school, she needed some extra support from the teachers. And one day in the playground, Louise was getting picked on, and some older children were calling her names. And I was watching this happen, and I did absolutely nothing about it, and I walked away. And I felt pretty rubbish about myself after that, because I was Louise's friend and I should have come to help her, but I didn't do anything. So we know there's times when we disappoint ourselves, when we know in our hearts that we are doing the wrong things, or we have said unkind words to others, and we can't take those words back. So we all do the wrong thing from time to time. We've talked earlier about Jesus. So what happened to Jesus once he was put on the cross? What happened to Jesus? Yeah, that's right. He came back alive again. And in our last Bible reading, we heard that when Peter saw that Jesus was alive again, he was so delighted to see that Peter was alive again. He was in his fishing boat, and he couldn't wait to get to see Jesus. But he, even though they were near the shore, and the other disciples just rowed the boat into the shore. What did he do? Yeah. Abigail, your listening is superb. Superb. He did. He jumped out of the boat and swam to the shore. He couldn't wait to get to see Jesus. He couldn't wait for the boat to get in there. He jumped in. So that tells us something just about what Jesus meant to Peter. So even though he was delighted to see Jesus, he must still have been feeling pretty rubbish about how he had let Jesus down. He might have been thinking, how could I look Jesus in the face again after what I've done? And it's hard to look people in the face when you know that you've wronged them. How could Peter ever forgive himself for what he had did to Jesus? But when we hear Jesus and Peter talking in our last Bible story, we hear that Jesus had forgiven Peter for letting him down. And he still loved him. And Peter was so, so, so thrilled. Suddenly everything in his heart changed. And he wasn't rubbish after all. And by way of forgiveness, Jesus gives Peter a job to do. When Peter says he loves Jesus, Jesus doesn't say, oh, well, then I'm glad that you love me. Instead, he says, well, then, feed my lambs. Look after my sheep. Feed my sheep. Jesus had given him a special job to do, to follow him and to look after the people who Jesus loved. So Peter was transformed and was given a purpose in life, an amazing job to do. So Jesus had allowed Peter to let go of all that rubbish that he was carrying. And I know this is what God wants for us all. He wants us all to leave behind the rubbish in our own lives, which we have called the darkness through our Waste Watchers Holiday Club. And it's only because of Jesus' death and coming alive again that it's possible for us to be forgiven and to get rid of that rubbish in our own lives. That dark rubbish is everything that we know that is not good and does not come from God. So Jesus came as light to the world, to give light that gives life. And this is not just a message for the children that came to the Waste Watchers Holiday Club, but it's for everybody here. Now the children during the week were learning two verses in particular. And the first verse that the children were learning was John chapter 3, verse 16. Now, I'm quite confident if I hand over the microphone, someone might be able to tell me what that verse is. Maybe if I hold the microphone together. Does anyone feel confident that they remember that verse? Because Peter, when he led one of the days, he gave it as a challenge that we could practice that verse and see if anyone could learn it. Does anyone feel that they remembered it? How about I start it off and you can join in? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And the boys and girls actually stuck that onto their cork crosses that they took home. And the second verse that we looked at was in John chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now I know when we truly understand these verses and what they mean to us, then that is when change from the inside can happen. Now at St. Paul's, we have our very own Peter. Now, the similarities between disciple Peter and our own Peter is that they're both followers of Jesus. And Peter helped out at our Waste Watchers Holiday Club last week. And he also did a bit of teaching and leading. And I'm going to invite Peter to come up just now just to share a little bit about what he thought about being a leader on our Waste Watchers Holiday Club, because I can tell you that the leaders had as much fun as the children did that came on to our club. So Peter, come on out. I'll let you hold that, Peter.
I've got my uniform on. Well, you can recognise us all by our yellow T-shirts. Aren't we great?
So how much have you enjoyed being a part of Waste Watchers Holiday Club?
Fantastic. Peter? I really enjoyed it. You know, when Lindsay didn't suggest this, I say, is there anything I can do to help? And I thought, I'm really too old, because I'm in my advanced 70s. And I thought, being in a holiday club, I'm far too old for that. But I can tell you, at the end of the week, I felt about 80 in my body. I was so tired, but my heart felt about 65, because my heart was made younger, because being in the company of children and all the happiness and all the joy and all the enthusiasm was really very catching. And so I loved that and I enjoyed it. It was a great time. And if you have another one, I'll volunteer again.
Oh, thank you, Peter. And what does it mean to you that you have been forgiven by Jesus?
Well, that means everything, because when I was brought up in a family, like many families here, and made to go to church every Sunday and made to go to Sunday school and learn all the Bible stories, but actually it was all just up here. Not much of it was down here in my heart. And when I was 12, I came to realize that although I said I was a Christian, it was only a Christian in my head. I wasn't really a Christian in my heart. And all the things that I stuck on, the Scripture Union badge and the going to Sunday school and saying, I'm a Christian because I go to church. And someone said to me, if you live in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. And just coming to church hadn't made me a Christian. And my heart wasn't in love with Jesus the way Peter in the Bible, his heart was in love with Jesus and loved Jesus. And so I learned then that my life had lots of rubbish in it, lots of things that needed taking away, and the only way to get rid of them was to trust in Jesus and ask him to forgive me. So that's what that meant to me.
And thank you, Peter. And I think you've maybe answered this question, but what difference does knowing Jesus make to your daily life? So your day-to-day life, what difference does Jesus make?
Well, as being an old man, I'll go back to that one again. when we get older, I tell you, one of the great things that Jesus has given me in my life is trust. I know that God loves me. I love him, but I know that he loves me. And I know that he takes care of me and he's with me. And when you get older, or in fact any time in life, we really don't know what the future holds. But I know who holds the future. It's God, and God's got me in his hand. That's a great reassurance. And also it gives me hope. A lot of older people, when they get older, they feel lonely and isolated. And you know, I've got the hope that I am with Jesus. Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So I'm never going to be on my own. I'm going to be with Jesus. And even when I die, then I know I'm going to be with Jesus. So that's great. That hope and that trust is fantastic.
Well, thank you, Peter. Thank you so much for coming up.
Thank you.
We're just going to say another short prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we know that there is so much darkness in the world. There is pollution and damage to your planet. Animals are endangered because of waste. There are bad things that happen that cause people to be upset and in pain. But Lord, we know about Jesus. God, you call Jesus the light of the world. As we sing our next hymn, Shine, help us to remember that we too can shine for God's glory in Jesus. And help us to bring light into the dark places of this world. God, we ask Jesus to shine his light. Amen.
Folks, just a wee word. It was great for me to return from holiday and to see everything that was happening in the holiday club, to be reminded once again of all the resources that we have here in St. Paul's. People right across the age range are willing to bring their gifts to bear on projects that fall to us. And that's a great encouragement as we begin another church season together. It was great also to be reminded once again of all the gifts for ministry that Lindsay has here, which augurs well not only for us in the time that remains for her to be here, but for the church in general. I used to have a pair of dungarees like that, and I just loved them. But I woke up one morning, went to get my dungarees, and they disappeared. Somebody in the house didn't like them. I still don't know where they are. If you see them about the place. But it's just been a great opportunity. And also to see how many parents are still interested in bringing their children to learn more of the story of Jesus and to benefit from that in their lives. So thanks to everyone who gave time, talents, energies to what's been a memorable week in the life of St. Paul's. So let's join together now to sing our final hymn, which is, Lord, the light of your love is shining. Now may you go in peace, for Christ, the light of the world, goes before you. Go where he calls, and as you go, may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore.